Want to first of all thank Mark Oppenheim for sponsoring today's shiur in memory of our dear friend, his father, Marvin Oppenheim, Olav Hashalom, whose yahrzeit was this past week. Learning should be le'ul nishmaso. So we are up to Perek Chafalef. We are nearing the end of Shmuel Beis, but there are still some stories, and in particular the story that we're going to deal with this morning. It's very, very complicated and very difficult to understand. So again, 21st parak of Shmuel Beis, the Navi tells us as follows. So again, the context of where we are right now is, again, the rebellion of Absalom was put to rest. It's not an issue. It's not an issue anymore. And now the Malchus of David is moving forward. And the same way, anytime you have a Melech, anytime you have a kingdom, there are going to be issues that arise. And the Navi tells us different stories that happen. But this one, again, is particularly difficult. So says the Navi, Pasuk Aleph. Vayira'av yimei David shalosh shanim shana achari shana. There was a terrible, terrible famine in the times of David for 3 years. 3 years, there was no food. Vayivakesh David es pnei Hashem. So David inquires from Hashem to find out what is going on. Because again, sometimes you'll go a while with there's a drought, but 3 years without any rain is a terrible, terrible amount of time. And it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem has a unique hashgacha pratis in how he takes care of Eretz Yisrael. When something like this happens, it's very clear that they're being punished for something. And everybody started talking and trying to figure out, well, what are we being punished for? So David has access to the Kohanim Gedolim. David has access to the Urim V'Tumim. And as such, he's going to inquire and try to figure out what is the cause, what is the reason for this terrible, terrible famine. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem responds, again, through the Urim V'Tumim. El Shaul ve'el Beis Hadamim al asher hemis esa givonim. It is for Shaul and Beis Hadamim, literally the house of blood, for his having killed the givonim. What on earth is he talking about? What is he talking about? What is this message that David HaMelech is getting from the Urim V'Tumim? And is this one thing or is it two things, right? Is it El Shaul ve'El Beis Hadamim? So what is the message that is being conveyed? So Rashi comments El Shaul alavon Shaul shenigbar pitom behechave shegarvu anshe yavesh gilad bekavru v'lon nispad afikvodo. The problem with Shaul, the reason they're being punished for Shaul, was that they did not eulogize Shaul properly. If you remember the circumstances of Shaul's death, the body was trying to be taken by the enemy, by the Plishtim, and therefore they finally were able to snatch the body. They brought it to the people of Yavesh Gilad, were able to take it, and they buried him right away so that nothing would happen to the body. However, in that rush, he was not eulogized the way that a Melech Yisrael, the way that a king deserves to be eulogized, and for that the nation is being punished. Now, if we remember back a while ago, the end of Shmuel Aleph, David did eulogize Shaul properly. This does not seem to be a situation in which David is the reason, for what happens. But as a king, as the nation, they did not treat him properly. But what is El Beis Hadamim? Shaharag Nov Ira Kohanim. If we remember when Shaul was chasing after David and David was hiding in the city of Nov, Shaul ordered that the entire kingdom, of Nov, the entire city, is to be destroyed. But then it says, Allah Sher Hemisasa Givonim. What did the Givonim have to do with anything, right? Rashi just told us it has to do with Nov. So the way the Mefarshim explain is that when Shaul killed the Kohanim of Nov because of their slander support that he received, that they were assisting David, he accused the Givonim, who were right nearby, of rebelling against him as well, and he killed people from the Givonim. He killed people from the Givonim. I mean, apparently, so again, it's interesting. On the one hand, part of why the punishment is coming is because Shaul wasn't treated properly, and the other half of it is because Shaul treated the Givonim improperly. So the two are not contradictory, it's just two different aspects, two different reasons that are being given. So David has to try and fix this error, which means that he's going to have to figure out how to get mechila from the Givonim. How to get mechila from the Givonim. Oh. So skaz di Navi in Pasuk Gimel. Vayikra ha-melech ha-givonim, so the king calls to the givonim, vayomar aliyam, and he says to them, va-givonim lo mi-bnei Yisrael heima, ki me-yeser ha-amori, u-bnei Yisrael nishbu lahem, vayivakish sha'ul ha-kosam, bekanoso livnei Yisrael vihuda. Wow, there's a lot in that, in this one pasuk. So David calls to the givonim, and presumably explained to them that there's this terrible famine that's here, and I'm not going to say that it's your fault, but you have the ability to stop it. Because if the Givonim are to forgive Bnei Yisrael, then Hashem will forgive Bnei Yisrael. If Bnei Yisrael are forgiven, then Hashem will bring rain again, and everything will be okay. Then the Pasuk says, but you should know that the Givonim are not lo mi Bnei Yisrael heima. They are not from the Jewish people. So what? What does that have to do with anything? So the Mefarshim explain that this parenthetical comment was here, this is what the Metzuda explains, it was here to tell us that why didn't they forgive? Because they didn't have that Jewish heart. They didn't have that Rachmanim and the Gomel Chasadim, and that, okay, we're willing to give up on whatever we are entitled to because we're trying to save the nation. And without that Midah, as we will see in a second, They were a nation again that was nearby, that the Bnei Yisrael took a shvua not to destroy the Givonim, but again Shaul did attack them at this moment, but they are not willing to forgive them. So now David is stuck in a bit of a bind, because again it seems to be that if the Urim B'Tumim said that the reason that the famine is coming is because of what happened with the Givonim, if he can't get the Givonim to forgive, then the famine is going to remain. So what does David do in, I'm sorry, that was Pasuk Beis. This is the Pasuk Gimel now. Vayomer David al ha-givonim. David says to the givonim, ma'aseh lachem. So what can I do for you? U'bamo achaper. How can I atone? How can I make amends for what happened? U'baruchu es nachlas Hashem. And then we will be able to cause that the nachlas Hashem, the portion of Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, will again be filled with the bounty and the blessing. Vayomer lo ha-givonim. Ein lanu kesef v'zav im shol v'im beso. V'ein lanu ish l'hamis b'Yisrael. V'yomer ma'atem omrim ha'aseh lachem. So what did they say? They said, right, we have no claim, we have no monetary claim. Again, it seems to be what they're saying, that David offered money. Listen, I'll pay them off. Whatever it is, it's worth it, because the kingdom is suffering. So whatever I could do to get them to forgive is going to be good enough, but they didn't want any money. They said nobody stole anything from us. That is not going to make amends. So and ein lanu ish l'hamis b'Yisrael, right? We don't want to cause innocent people to suffer, but at the same time, we need to do something. Ma'atem omrim ha'aseh lachem. So David, that's the end of the pasuk, is David, just, well, you tell me. The ball's in your court. Tell me what you want us to do, what you want me to do, and we will do it. Vayomru al ha-melech, the Givonim said to the king, Ho'ish asher kilanu, v'asher dimolanu, nishmanu misyatzei b'chol gevul Yisrael. The man who destroyed us, right, who schemed against us, he tried to eliminate the remainings from within the boundaries of Bnei Yisrael, meaning Shaul, right? Because Shaul was the one who ordered the death of some of the people of the Givonim when he thought that they were assisting this rebellion and assisting David. Yutan lanu shiv'a anashim yibanav v'hoka'anum l'Hashem b'givas sho'ul b'chir Hashem. They said, we want seven of his sons, and we will hang them. We will kill seven of the sons of Sheol, we will hang them, in honor of God, for the sake of Hashem, in Givas Sheol, right, in the where Sheol is from, to make it very, very clear that this is being done as atonement for what Sheol did, and that's our request. Okay, and we could see why the Givonim maybe didn't say this initially, because they didn't think that they would have the ability to get such a request. The only person who could potentially agree to such a thing is David. The king has powers that go beyond the normal scope of a Beis Din. He's allowed to act in a way that he thinks is necessary for the king. What did David respond? The end of the pasuk says David. Vayomer Hamelach, ani etain. Okay, if that's what we have to do in order to be able to have rain again and to stop this punishment against the Jewish people, we will do it. But ani etain, I will be the one who gives them over. I will decide who is going to be given. Why did he want to do that? Well, if we remember, David has a personal complication in all this, because he has a shvua, he has a promise, an oath that he made with Yehonasan, that he's going to watch out for his children. And one of the descendants who we know is still alive is Mephibosheth. And he needs to make sure that Mephibosheth is going to be okay and not going to be part of this cruel punishment that the Givonim are demanding against those who descendants of Sheol for what Sheol did. So says David in Pasuk Zayin, Vayachmol HaMelech, the king David had pity al Mephibosheth ben Yehonasan ben Sheol, on Mephibosheth, who was the grandson of Sheol, right, a descendant, a child of Yehonasan, al Shvuas Hashem Hashem ben Osam David Yehonasan ben Sheol, because he had again this Shvuah that he made. So he would not allow that. So what did he do? Vayikach HaMelech es shnei b'nei Ritzpa bas Ayo asher yodol l'Sheol, es Armoni v'es Mephibosheth. And he took the two sons of Ritzpa bas Ayo that were born to Sheol. Their names were Armoni and Mephibosheth. I guess Mephibosheth was a popular name at the time, I'm not sure. But he took those two. And the five sons of Michal bas Sheol that were born to Adriel ben Barzillai HaMecholasi. That were born to Michal from this particular husband. How exactly did he choose those? And what is it talking about? Wasn't Michal married to David? So the Mefarshim explained that these were not really the sons of Michal, they were really the sons of Merav. Merav was another daughter of Sheol, but she died young, and Michal raised his children. This is one of the sources that Chazal bring, that somebody who raises somebody else's children is considered to be as if they gave birth to them. Because again, it calls them her children. And these were the ones that were selected. Very, very difficult to, again, the responsibility that David had to take on. But again, all of this was guided fundamentally by the Urim Betumim. Right? The Urim Betumim said that this is the problem and that he needs to figure out how to fix it. What did he do in Pasuk Tes? Vayitnein biyada givonim. He gave them over to the givonim. Vayokium bahar lifnei Hashem. Vayiplu shivatam yachad. And immediately he gave them over. They were killed at one time. They were hanged on the mountain in front of Hashem. Again, and when did this take place? In the first days of the harvest. In the first days of the harvest of the barley, which we know is Nisan. Right? Nisan times when they begin to harvest, that's the Karban HaOmer for the, that we count for Sfiras HaOmer, was the first cuttings of the barley. So we're talking about an event that took place in Nisan. The Medrash says that the bodies were hanging from the 16th of Nisan until the 17th of Cheshvan. That is a long, long time. Long, long time that the bodies were... we are in Perek Chafalov, Perek 21. The bodies were hanging for, a very, very long time. To her credit, in Pasuk Yud, Batikach Ritzpah Bas Aya, who was the only mother alive, because again, these weren't actually the children of Michal, they were really Merav's children who was not alive, but this was Ritzpah, this was her, were her children that were hanged. She took as a sak vatateyu lo elatsur mitchilas kotzir anitach mayim aleim min hashamayim. She set up camp, and she set up a vigil outside of, right near their bodies, where they were hanging for this entire period of time, for all of these months, until the water started coming. That's why it's Cheshvan, because that's when the rainy season, right? Again, the fact that there was not going to be any rain from Nisan until Cheshvan is not indicative that that it's still a time of famine, it's just not the rainy season. But once Sukkot passes, and now it's Cheshvan, so now the rainy season is beginning. And now, when it starts raining again, that was when they finally took the bodies down. She defended the bodies against being eaten by any birds or any animals. And David was told what Ritzvah was, who was the Pilegesh of Shaul, what she did. David So what did David HaMelech do? He wanted to at least, I guess, reward her in some way and let her see a bit of a nechama for this terrible punishment. And again, it doesn't say that she was complaining. I think she understood. And the fact that it was done with the Urim V'Tumim, I think Chazal tell us that the Urim V'Tumim was even present at the time this happened. So somehow, this, again, what appears to be a very, very cruel punishment. And again, maybe if Yavish Gilad would have allowed, there wouldn't have had to be this. But again, they needed to have atonement for this. And she accepted it, and she just wanted to show kavod and look out for the bodies. So as a reward for that, David HaMelech went and took the bodies of Shaul and Yehonasan, and together with the people who had now been hanged as atonement for what happened with Shaul, and he reinterred them and buried them all together. So again, so now at least it brought them together after what they had been through to be buried together with Shaul and Yehonasan. And he buried them in Pasuk Yedal, Vayikberuz, Atzmos Shaul, Yehonasan, Beno, Be'eretz, Binyanin, Betzela, Bekever, Kish, Aviv. And he put them into the Kever, I guess his family plot. Vayasu Kol Asher Tziva Amelech, Vayaser Elokim La'aretz Achareichen. And immediately after that happened, Hashem listened to their tefillos, and Hashem listened to their tefillos, and again, presumably, the rain began to come, and again, as difficult as this is to understand, it clearly was a gezeira min hashamayim. Somehow, David obviously understood that and knew that if this is what the Urim Bitum, again, on his own, maybe he wouldn't have said it. But together with the guidance of the guidance of the Urim V'Tumim, he was able to make sure that this was atoned for. How did David decide? Did he just give the Pilegesh? Because it's a very difficult decision. So Chazal elaborate a little bit more and explain that the descendants of Shaul were actually brought to the Aron. and they had to pass in front of the Aron. And those who became, I guess, sort of frozen or stuck in their place, they were the ones who were chosen. So again, it wasn't a decision that David simply had to make on his own. How does that work together with the pasuk which says that he had mercy on Mephibosheth? Remember, Yehonasan, if it wasn't up to him, it was up to the Aron. So then Chazal explained was that he davened. He davened that Mephibosheth should not be selected. And he went that when he would pass through, he would be saved. Some of the Mefarshim even go as far as to suggest that David asked them if they were willing to die in order to save Klal Yisrael. After they were selected, he explained to them. And again, it takes away at least a little bit of the edge of the cruelty from the David side. The Givonim were still the ones who demanded it. But again, once it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, it was Gezerahi, Milfanav. It was a Gezerah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the people, the ones that perished and the ones that were killed, all said, we're willing to die for Klal Yisrael, that the Klal Yisrael is being punished. We have the opportunity to save him. And they were willing to do that. The end of the Perek now, again, shifts gears a little bit and talks a bit about David fighting some wars at the end of his, as we're getting towards the end of his life. Pasuk Tesvav, Vatihi od milchama la plishtim es Yisrael. There was another battle of the plishtim against the Jewish people. Vayered David va'avadav imo va'ilachamu es plishtim va'ya'af David. And David, as a good Jewish general does, he fought together with his soldiers. He didn't just stay behind, but he fought together with his soldiers. However, he was exhausted. I guess he was getting a little bit older. What then happened? There was somebody named Ishbi Benov. Who exactly was Ishbi Benov? Not 100% clear, but he was a son of a giant. He was a son of a giant. It says the weight of his spear was 300 copper weights, and he had a brand new sword. Why is that significant? It seems to be the Mefarshim understand that when did you get a brand new sword? When it's your first day in the army. And when it's your first day in the army, you got to prove yourself. You have to prove yourself. And he sees that David is tired and David has fallen back a little bit and he is alone. He thinks, what better prize would there be to me bring back to the Plishtim than killing David Melech Yisrael? So he decided, Vayomer Lakoses David, to plot, to try and kill David HaMelech. Vayazor lo Avishai ben Tsruya vayachas haplishtim v'misev. David was in trouble. Avishai, who was one of his generals, sees what's happening. He's also his nephew. Sees what's happening and goes and is able to save and kill this plishti and save David. Oz nishbu anshei David lo lemor lo seitzei oditon lemelchamav lo skaberes ner Yisrael. And at that point, Avishai and the soldiers of David made a shvua that we are not going to let David go to fight anymore. It's not that he's not a leader who's willing to, but he's older. He's older. He doesn't have it anymore. We cannot allow David to be killed. It's more important that the Melech Yisrael be alive and be strong. And we don't want the lamp of Israel to be extinguished. We cannot allow for it. What happens? Pasuk Yirches. Vayi acharichein. After this, sometime later. Vati oda melchama begov in plishtim. There's another battle to plishtim. And there, Sibchi from Chush killed Saf, who was another children of the giant. Again, apparently the giant had a whole bunch of children. There's another battle. Pasuk Yutes. Vayach Elchanan ben Yairi Orgim Beis Alachmi. Okay, so somebody else. This Elchanan, who was the son of Yairi, who was a weaver, he destroys who? Es Goyas Hagiti Beis Chaniso Kiminor Orgim. Again, who was this person? It was he. Who is this? The brother of Goliath. The brother of Goliath, the Farshim explained, it wasn't actually Goliath. Goliath was already destroyed. So there was a whole giant family that was there, and they were constantly pestering Bnei Yisrael, and he destroyed him. He had a spear, that had a shaft that was like the beam of a weaver. Again, there were victories that were taking place at this time of David's career. Why were there so many battles right now? Presumably, because they saw that David was weak. They didn't know that David wasn't going to go out to fight anymore. But they saw that David generally went out to fight, and they almost got him. That gave incentive to the Plishtim to go out and fight a little bit more. Concludes the Perek Pasuk Chaf, V'atiyod Nechama Begas. There was another war in Gas. V'ayihi Ish Madon. V'etzpaos Yodav, Etzpaos Reglav, Sheish V'sheish, Esrim V'arba Mispar V'gam Hu Yulad Arafa. There was a man, a very, very large person, who had six fingers and six toes. So again, he had a 24. He had an extra finger on each hand and an extra toe on each toe. Presumably, that's just that's to express how big he was. Not that he was some sort of circus attraction, amusement park attraction, but he was just very, very, very large. Vigam hu yulad harafa. He was also one of the giant. Vayicharef es Yisrael, and he was cursing the Jewish people. Vayakeyu Yehonasan ben Shima achi David, and Yehonasan ben Shima, the brother of David, went and struck him down. Es arbaas elo yildu laharafa begas vayiplu biyad David ubiyad avadav. And this perek concludes that as many battles as they fought and as many giants as they sent, right now the Jewish people were in a good place, and when they were in a good place, and they were able to be, when they were able to defend themselves, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them along. It is interesting, though, to know that it says Vayiplu biyad David. What did David do? Right? Wasn't David not supposed to be fighting? So it seems to be that David maybe didn't take the Shvuah as seriously as the soldiers took the Shvuah, and wasn't going to leave his men behind, and he continued to fight. We'll see Mirtz Hashem next time. The next paragraph is already the Shira of David, which again brings a bit of closure to this period of time. But again, we'll see that Mirtz Hashem next week. Everybody should have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.